Chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 18 through 20 on this week of Thanksgiving. As I said, let's be thankful all the time, but this week of Thanksgiving, let's not forget all the many, many blessings that we need to be thankful for. So Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, again this morning, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for allowing us to come and to worship you, allowing us every opportunity that you give to us to come, not because we have to. Your word commands us to, and we should, but we should do it because we love you, not because we're robots that you made that we should come and just follow routine over and over and over, but that we come because we love you, and we want to worship you, and we want to be obedient to your word. And Father, I pray this morning as we look into your word, I pray that we would be thankful in everything, no matter what it is. So I pray, Father, this morning that we'd be drawn closer to you, that our faith would increase, that you'd speak to each heart here this morning personally, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Most people say thank you simply because that's what they've been trained to do, right? Have you ever gotten something and you said thank you, even though you really didn't want it? It's out of courtesy, right? Out of being polite. It's because we've been trained to do that. You know, you get something and Brother Fred brought up, you know, "Oh, thank you for this gift. I've got 47 of them or five or whatever number he came up with. 47 just happens to be one of my favorite numbers. So 47 of these already, but thank you. I appreciate that." Of course, you don't tell the person that you already have a ton of them, right? I don't know if this happened with Brother Daniel and Miss Holly, but usually you have a wedding and you get 10 of the same thing, right? And so you get to return 9 of them because obviously two people aren't going to use 10 of the same thing, right? And so it just happens. But you always send a thank you card, right? Because you want to tell people that you appreciate that they thought of you. We don't go around telling everybody, you know, it was a nice gesture, but you shouldn't have because I already have 20 of these or whatever, right? We just don't do that. So we give thanks to people because we're trained to do it. It's the right thing to do. It's because we're trying to be courteous, right? Thanksgiving is defined as the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. Do we give thanks to God because of his mercies? Because of his favors? I mean, God's very gracious to us. In fact, let's throw extremely grateful to us in there. Because he just is. It's also a public celebration of divine goodness. Also a day set apart for religious services. Especially to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in any remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or in the ordinary dispensation of his bounties. The practice of appointing an annual Thanksgiving originated in New England. It's good that we have a Thanksgiving Day, right? Most people think Thanksgiving is for one thing. To eat so much that you can't hardly move afterwards. And that's what most people think Thanksgiving is all about. How about, first and foremost, we not forget to give thanks to God who gave us the bounty of which we are going to partake in, right? An abundance, usually. I remember growing up and we had a Thanksgiving spread that could feed a million people, it seemed like. There was so much food all. And we ate and ate and ate on that for weeks on end, it seemed like. It seemed like it never ended. If you were fortunate to live next to my grandmother, you'd found that she could make turkey 87 million different ways. That might be a slight exaggeration, but she could take a turkey and make so many different meals you didn't know you were eating the same thing over and over and over. It didn't look the same, it didn't taste the same, but it was the same stuff from Thanksgiving dinner. Thank God that God takes care of us better than we deserve. So we have so much to be thankful for. First and foremost, our great salvation. If you're here this morning and you don't know salvation in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, it's something you want to get because it's the best gift you could ever have. We're saved by grace. By grace. We're saved eternally. You know, I got saved, I don't have to worry about my salvation anymore. It's settled. It's done. Praise the Lord for that. You know, we get a wonderful life here. People say, well, you haven't lived much. We get a wonderful life here. I don't care how bad it's gotten here. We get a wonderful life here, and we get heaven. Wow. You read about heaven? Sounds like a great place. But I believe what makes heaven heaven is Jesus is going to be there. So I think we got this wonderful life here. We've got heaven waiting for us. What a blessing. If that was all we had, isn't that enough to be thankful for? But the list is even better than that. We have our great friends and families. We have to understand that family is important. Family is very important. Remember years ago, my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I stopped by to visit him. And he said this to me, and it broke my heart. He said, all of a sudden, I became very important to my family. What changed? Why does it take something like a tragedy to bring family together? We need to be thankful for them. God gave them to us. People say, well, you can't pick your family. Well, God picked it for you. Wouldn't that be much better? Our family is our greatest possession outside of salvation. Then our church and our church family. I thank God for a church family. I thank God for people who care about us, that we care about. Church family is important. And sometimes we treat it like it's not, but it is. God sees it as important. Our great possessions. Our homes. Nice to have a roof over your head. Yours is almost finished. Close. But isn't it nice to have a roof over your head? It's pretty cold out. Be awful nice to have heat and lights and place to sleep. We should be thankful for those. How about transportation? Aren't you glad you didn't have to walk to church this morning? Was it a little chilly? Now, I'll tell you, there's people all over the world that are walking miles and miles and miles to go to a church service. Walking. People go, well, they're crazy. No, they love the Lord and they want to be in the service. So they're willing to walk. How many of us this morning, if the car hadn't started, would we walk to church? Now, I have to tell you, if my car hadn't started this morning, I would still be walking on my way to church because I'm not that quick at moving on 2 feet. It's a bit of a walk. But thank God for our transportation, right? How about our everyday needs? Aren't you glad when you got up this morning you had some food for breakfast? Or if you were fortunate to go downstairs, you had Krispy Kremes this morning. Enough sugar to keep you alive for at least 5 more minutes, right? or at least awake for 5 more minutes. All that stuff, our everyday needs. Got up this morning. Wasn't it nice to have clothes to put on? Ladies were probably thankful they had some makeup they could do their stuff with, right? Some of us are glad we had a razor this morning so we could shave. Some of us don't care about that, but some of us do, you know. Can start looking scruffy in the morning if I don't shave, so one of those things. But aren't we glad that we have all those everyday needs? Sometimes we forget to thank God for the everyday needs. Our great liberty. You know, we have the liberty to travel. We have freedom to travel. Even though our government tried to shut that down some, we still have liberty to travel. Get one of those electric vehicles and you're not going to be traveling very far. Right? You only get to go so far before you have to charge it. That's if you can find electricity to charge it with. You have a gasoline vehicle, and guess what? There could be a day when you're not going to find gas. We might have to go back to the old horse and buggy times, right? But aren't you glad that we have the freedom to travel? How about the freedom of speech? We take that for granted, by the way. I still wholeheartedly believe that in my lifetime, I could still be arrested for preaching the Word of God in the United States of America. People think I'm crazy. It's already happened. In my lifetime. In your lifetime. It's already happened. But thank God for the freedom of speech. Our great opportunities. Anything that you want, you can attain. I get tired of hearing that there's only certain people in the United States of America that can make it. If you want it, you can achieve it. You got to want it. Our life is only limited by our will to accomplish. We can do what we set our mind to. Then we're to be thankful at all times. Notice it doesn't say sometimes. It says all times. In everything give thanks. In every circumstance, in every day, every time zone, whatever it is, in everything give thanks. Did we wake up this morning with a thankful heart? We should have. One, God gave us another day. Should have been thanking Him for it. It's easy for us to be thankful when the windows of heaven are open and the blessings from God are pouring out, isn't it? When there's no bumps in the road, it's easy to be thankful. But the moment one thing happens that we don't like, and we could be the biggest whiners and complainers on the planet. God said, in everything give thanks. I never once have read in everything whine and complain. I haven't even seen where He said, when things aren't going your way, whine and complain. In fact, I see what He did to the whiners and the complainers. He's not happy with whiners and complainers. But boy, we can get there fast when things aren't going our way. In fact, I'd say we're more likely to whine and complain than we are to give thanks. So number one, there's a realization of thanksgiving. Turn to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to get a workout here, so you're going to see many different verses this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Everything that we have and everything that we hope to have is a gift from the Lord. Everything. He gives us health, strength, and opportunity to earn a living. It all came from Him. Then number two, there's a gratitude of thanksgiving in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to learn to never take for granted all the things that we have, all the things that God has allowed us to have, and return thanks to the one who gave it to us. It's easy to forget, isn't it? It's easy. I have to tell you, what you have now, you may not always have. God can give it to you, and God can take it from you. Let's remember that the things that we have today, we may not always have. And let's be thankful that He's allowed us to have them for the time that He allows us to. Number three, there is a worship of thanksgiving in Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. True thanksgiving is a magnification of a gracious, kind, gentle, loving, and compassionate Lord. Are we thankful for who He is? Aren't you glad that He is gracious, that He is kind, that He's compassionate? We like all of those things, right? We like the fact that He's gentle and kind and loving and compassionate. We like all that. And then we throw in the, He's also the just judge. Ooh, we don't like that part. We like all this other stuff because we like the kind and loving and compassionate. We like all that. But you can't throw out the just judge either, because He's all that, and the just judge. We need to be thankful. We need to praise Him for who He is. Then there is a song of thanksgiving in Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. Verse 46. It says, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers, and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. As we sang this morning, we need to sing as unto the Lord, right? We're not here to be seen or to be heard. We're here to lift Him up, right? And some of us might say, yeah, nobody's going to hear us sing, right? Because we don't want to sing where anybody might hear us. When we sing, it's unto the Lord. It's not so that people hear us or don't hear us. It's the fact, and I've joked about it. People ask me if I'm going to sing a solo. I say, yeah, it'll be so low, nobody will hear it. And that'll be a good thing, right, for most people. But we're supposed to sing as unto the Lord. Not to put on a show for one another, but to sing unto the Lord. And sometimes it's good to actually be happy when you're singing to the Lord, isn't it? To be excited about being able to sing to the Lord. To be giving back to Him because He's given so much to us. Unfortunately, I think sometimes it's just, again, just lip service. In Psalm 95, verse 2, says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Make a joyful noise. It doesn't matter if we're pleasing to one another with our singing. It matters, are we making a joyful noise unto the Lord? And by the way, He doesn't look on the outward appearances and all. He looks on the heart. When we sing, is our heart in it? Are we singing from the heart, or are we just giving Him lip service? Because He knows. He knows. And number five, there is the voice of thanksgiving, Psalm 26 and verse 7. Psalm 26 and verse 7, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all Thy wondrous works. Are we telling of all of His wondrous works? It's a good thing to give thanks publicly. It's a good thing to do that. I mean, concerning everything that we have, and all, we could give Him thanks continually, right? Can we ever thank Him enough for all that He's done for us? Again, let's just go back to just salvation. Can we ever thank Him enough for that? I don't think so. I don't think there'd be enough time to give Him thanks enough for that. In Psalm 50, and we're not going to turn to this one, but it says that everything that has breath should praise the Lord. Do you have breath this morning? And you need to praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm 107, verse 22, please. Psalm 107, verse 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Are we declaring and doing it with rejoicing? See, the voice of thanksgiving, we're out talking to people. Are we telling them how thankful we are for all that God's doing in our life? Or are we out complaining about how life isn't going so well? See, people are going to look at us and say, if you've got God, which you profess to have, then why is it all I ever hear out of your mouth is complaining and whining? When you should be singing praises, giving thanks continually. See, even the heathen know how we're supposed to act. And I'd say a lot of times better than we know how we're supposed to act, judging from how we act. But how are we going to convince anybody that what we have is so marvelous when all we do is whine and complain about our life? If all we had to talk about was salvation, wouldn't that be enough? How do you exhaust that? And then number six, there's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50, 14. Says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Don't you love to give back to the Lord? Not just talking about the tithe that's His anyway, but don't you like to just give back and like more than you even ask for? Just the opportunity to give to Him and to give that gift with a grateful heart. To say, wow. Thank you, God, for blessing me abundantly. I'd just like to give some of this back to you. The Bible talks about tithes and offerings. How about just a gift from a grateful heart? If everything we have comes from Him, and everything we have is His, then why is it so hard for us if it's His anyway? I've heard over and over in my walk with the Lord that, well, He just doesn't need it. He doesn't need anything we have. Everything we have is His. So if you gave it to Him, it was already His. It'd be kind of like, you know, coming over and borrowing one of my tools or something, and I loan it to you, you're going to give it back to me because it was already mine, right? And I'm supposed to be all excited because you returned something that was already mine, right? See, we don't look at it as it's already God's. We look at it as, this is mine. And I'm not giving it up. Right? We have a different attitude. It's not ours. You get to be a good steward of it. Well, prayerfully we'd be good stewards of it, right? But it's not ours. And if we truly believe He's the giver and the taker, He could take it all back at any time, then what's our issue? If we knew we could lose everything we have today, we'd probably be all out digging holes and burying everything so we couldn't find it, right? Like God wouldn't be able to find it. It's His. Then there's an entrance of thanksgiving, Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Faithfulness to come to the house of God. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to come to the house of God is a true expression of thankfulness. You say, well, what do you mean? Says, enter into His courts with praise. Are we thankful enough that He gives us an opportunity to come into His house? By the way, this all belongs to Him. It's all His. When we come to church, we are to approach Him in our entrance with thanksgiving. Thank God He's allowed us to have this stuff to use to glorify Him. Then there's a prayer of thanksgiving in Psalm 116, verse 17. Psalm 116, verse 17, it says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. One of the things that my wife and I have done for years, and I encourage other Christians to do as well, is that when we go out for a meal, we're sitting in a restaurant, and I don't care if it's fast food or if it's a nice dining establishment or whatever, we bow our heads and we thank God for the meal. I can't tell you how many times people have approached us after witnessing that and say, wow, that was awful nice. Most people don't do that anymore. It's not to pat us on the back. It's to say that we understand that God appreciates when we give Him thanks for the things that He has given to us. And we're not ashamed to do that in public. And we shouldn't be. God's people should never be ashamed of God. And we should never be ashamed of our faith in Him. We need to do that. It's also a blessing to take that time in your own personal prayer closet to thank Him. We need time publicly, but we also need time privately with God. And we need to do that and not to forget. And then there's a witness of thanksgiving, number 9, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It's a great testimony when the unsaved see us thank God for all that He does. Everything that He does for us, and He gives to us. And it's amazing. I mean, we could exhaust thousands of years probably just going through all the wonderful things God's done for us. It's a great testimony when the unsaved see us do that. But unthankful is a word used to describe this generation. And he does that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Second Timothy 3, verse 2. It says, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It's amazing how people can be so unthankful. It's amazing. We, God's people, should be an example of gratefulness to the rest of the world. They should see us and see how grateful we are to God for all that He's done for us. See, if the world would start seeing how grateful we are to God for all He's done for us, they would know all the things He's done for us and see why we have something that they should want. It's going to change the mindset between why do I want to become a whiner and complainer like them to, man, I'd like to have the joy that they have. I would like to see me being as grateful for my life as they are for theirs. It would change the attitudes in the world. Then the last one, number 10, there is a continuation of thanksgiving. Look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let us never forget to continually count our blessings and name them one by one. Let's not forget. We have a tendency as God's people to forget what God's done for us in the past. We do. We have that short-term memory, right? Long-term memory doesn't work for us. We forget all the many things that He's done for us already, and we're wondering why He isn't taking care of all of our problems right now. If He's taken care of you in the past, don't you think He'll continue to take care of you well into the future? We say something, I'm going to say it here, but I wonder if we really mean it. God is good all the time. Do we really mean that? Because He is. I mean, there's no doubt that He is. But do we really mean it? If we do, then let's show Him with our grateful hearts instead of with our whining and complaining. Because we need to thank Him, as He tells us, in everything, give thanks. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we thank You for Your word. Father, I pray that we would be a thankful people, that we would be a grateful people, that we wouldn't be murmuring and complaining all the time, but that we would just be so excited about all the things You're doing in our life that we wouldn't hold back from letting people know. That we'd give thanks with a grateful heart. Father, again this morning, if there's someone in our midst that's never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that today would be the day that they realize their need of salvation. Father, for those of us who already have, I pray that we aren't whining and complaining all the time, but we are thankful. Father, we can all agree that we've been whiners and complainers. But it doesn't mean we have to stay there. So I pray, Father, during this time of invitation, as we turn it over to You, that You would touch our hearts, make us realize what we need to do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.